Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful Sabbath day we're having today, isn't it? I love this time of year that we're approaching. The fall of the year means I can quit mowing and kind of take it easy a little bit better. I know these Oklahoma summers, I've been here all my life, and we always know what to expect, but it's still tough to take. Just about less than two weeks ago, I got back from a trip down in the Caribbean and laid out under the palm trees on the islands and the ocean breeze, and that part of the world, they say it's hot, but they've never been to Oklahoma because we never broke a sweat down there. And to come back home and the humidity's terrible. But anyway, we know what to expect, though, don't we? So it's nothing new. I noticed this morning as I had a good drive from Ardmore, and as I was coming through the interstate, I'm amazed. How long has it been since I was here? Maybe, 4 or 5 weeks ago? And I'm amazed about how much progress they've made. Have you been through the interstate lately up through the mountains? Those wind generators are popping up out just everywhere. The west side of the interstate, they're just everywhere out there now. It's amazing progress. This morning, as we open up God's Word, I hope that each of you receive as much of a blessing from what Jesus has prepared for me as I know is the blessing that I always receive when I'm standing in this position. So I hope that each of you this morning have a very, very happy Sabbath. Do you know what the most watched TV programs are? It has to do with World Championship Wrestling and boxing. Why is that? I think because overall people love to watch a good fight. Well, this morning we're going to study about David and Goliath. It's a classic thriller. The uncivilized Philistines, they wanted to annex Israel because they were overpopulated. They were determined to take victory from God's people. But rather than go to war, the way they did things back then was, each side took the best they had. They stood up to a challenge, and however it came out, that was the winner. Whichever one won, then that nation overtook the other. So if you'll open up your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, the scripture reading says, "The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, with a valley between them." Now picture this battlefield, if you will. We're about 15 miles or so outside west of Bethlehem, and there's that little valley. And when you start studying it and do some research, you find out it's not a very big area. It was really a small area, but there was a line drawn in the sand, so to speak. There was just that small valley. There was the little fearful and quaking army of God trying to protect their homeland against these mongrel invaders. Now on one side was God's people, and on the other side was these infidels. It was kind of like a football game. The two teams were down in the trench and were just waiting for the ball to be hiked. But something was going on. Nothing was happening. You see, the offense and the defense, God's people versus Goliath's people. They'd been in a stalemate for 6 weeks. There was this little valley with this little creek running right down the middle of it. There on that one side was Goliath's people. You see, Goliath, we're told that he was around 10 feet tall. Stop and think about that. 10 feet tall. You know the old Shaq, the old basketball player. I mean, he's about as big as a guy's what's ever hit sports. And he's only, a little over 7 feet. But can you imagine someone 10 feet tall? He weighed 500 pounds. I mean, he was a human tank. This guy was big. He was a proven fighter. His armor, he wore armor that just clanked Each time he took one of those big strides, he was just a big guy. He, twice a day, he would utter out that echoed out over the valley. He would utter out the most vulgar things to say about God's people. But God's people would not react. You see, no one dared to take the challenge because they knew in their hearts, they thought it would be just a certain execution. You know, even Saul, he was the biggest. He was the leader and he was the biggest man, and even he shuddered with fear. But you see, he was almost 60 years old at the time, and he had his oldest son. His name was Jonathan, but he wouldn't even send him out into battle against Goliath. You see, twice a day, this monster, this giant, he would holler out, bellow out all of these things, and twice a day, God's people would run the other direction. They would be in fear. Verse 5, Goliath had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Now, in today, in the measure of weight that we use, 125 pounds. I mean, most of us are, I mean, we couldn't even, you know, we'd do well to probably couldn't even lift that much. And here he had that on his body. Verse 6, on his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze harpoon was slung on his back. It was just a big target of brass, just waiting for the enemy to challenge. But yet God's people said, no, no. He was a fully equipped killing machine. He was about 3 feet taller than what Saul was. And here Saul was the biggest of God's, the tallest of God's people. But yet he couldn't even stand up to the measure. Verse 7, Goliath's spear shaft was like a weaver's rod. It was 15 feet long. The iron point weighed 6,000 shekels. That's 15 pounds just for the point on the spear that Goliath carried. It took one man along besides Goliath just to carry the big man-sized shield. Verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me." But the call was never heeded. You see, Saul's troops, they were about as zealous as what just the most laziest or the most unconcerned or scared person could ever be. Despite the generous offer that Saul had made, he'd offered fame, fortune, he'd offered all kinds of things, lifetime income. None of his men wanted to have anything to do with the battle. For 6 weeks, as I mentioned, this stalemate continued. You see, friends, in our lives, giants, problems that come into our lives, they don't just come one time, do they? Satan just keeps hitting us with them, just one after the other. And that's what was going on there. But those things that come to our lives, they just keep yelling across the valley of our life, just like what Goliath did. And you know, friends, as I've studied this and prepared for this, not one time do we read that the troops of God stopped to pray. Not one time did they pray. I guess you could say they left God at home. And you know, whenever I get into my vehicle to go somewhere, I always ask the Lord to send one of his angels with me to look over me and keep me safe. Meanwhile, now, Meanwhile, there was a little teenager by the name of David. He was at home. His job was to tend the sheep. Now, he was the eighth. He was the baby of eight sons. I guess you could say he was standing at the bottom of that proverbial totem pole. One morning, his father, who was Jesse, he asked David to go do an errand for him. He said, "Please go down to the army camp with some food for your brothers." So you see, in those days, the armies, the individuals had to depend on their families to feed them while they were in battle. But little that day did Goliath know that would be the last day of his life and the first day of David's life as a hero. You know, you never know what's going to be out there for us. You never know what a day brings. You never know whether there's going to be fame or whether there's going to be fog right around the corner. After a long trip, David, he came to the camp where he had three brothers there that day that was there for Saul, even though they weren't fighting, they weren't even standing up. And he had brought some food for them. And when he came there, all of a sudden, we're told that all of a sudden there was a thundering shout that came across that little valley. And it said that David quickly looked up and he saw the largest human being that he had ever seen in his life. I mean, here, David was a small built man. And to the standards of a large built normal man, they didn't even stand up to the size of Goliath. But for David, I mean, Goliath was approaching twice the size of what David was. And as David heard that chilling challenge, I'm sure that the hair stood up on his neck. But we're told that there was a rush of holy adrenaline and made his heart pound. He thought someone must rise up and put a stop to all this obscenities, this blaspheme that this giant was carrying on. He immediately volunteered. This little guy, he volunteered to stand up when all of Saul's army, God's people's army, would not. Verse 28. Now, when Eliab, who was David's oldest brother, he heard David speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle." So you see, there was a sibling rivalry right then. But he underestimated his little brother. You see, we should never underestimate anyone else, especially one of our own siblings. Don't be quick. We should never be quick to pronounce judgment on the condition of someone's heart. David's heart wasn't evil. David did not begin an argument with his brother. You see, David, he had the Lord in his heart. And he chose to choose his battles wisely. And that's a good lesson for you and I. It really is. Satan probably wished that David would have spent the home that day fighting with Eliab rather than fighting with one of Satan's agents, that being Goliath. You see, Satan wants you to spend your energy fighting among fellow members of your family of God, while the enemy goes unchallenged. The army of God was terrified, though. None of them wanted the challenge except for David. So David, because David looked up at God. You see, friends, when problems comes to our lives, if we focus just on them and we leave God out of it, we don't have a chance. It doesn't make any difference if you're in school, if you're making bad grades, or if there's marriage problems, or whatever the problem is. God is bigger, and He is on your side. He is bigger than the most fearsome giant that can come into your life. We don't need to look at the glass in our lives. We need to know they're there, but we need to just let Jesus take care of our problems. You see, too many of us look at the sword of life rather than the Lord of life. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verse 31. Daniel's willingness, he was reported to Saul, and Saul went for him. Actually, Saul was the one and only man qualified to fight Goliath, but yet that day even Saul was a wimp, as big as a person as he was. Saul replied in verse 33, "You're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it." Now notice how David killed lions. He just went straight after them and attacked them. When that lion came after David, he didn't turn and run like God's people had been for the last 6 weeks. Verse 37. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You see, David never forgot his past blessings. We have nothing to fear for the future except when we forget that God is the way He's led us in our lives. The only giant that David knew was God. David knew that Goliath wasn't a giant. He saw Goliath as a midget. So we should never underestimate the power of youth the way David was underestimated that day. They didn't have faith in him, but David had faith because he knew the Lord was by his side. David found Saul's uniform awkward. You see, Saul wanted to take his uniform and get David all clad up. But David said no. He said, I don't need any of that. He refused Saul's armor and he relied totally on God. He was totally in God's hands. He was prepared. He brought one thing with him. He brought his sling. He had used that sling many, many times, probably thousands of times. You know, athletes train for years. Well, David was ready that day. Verse 40, "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine." Do you understand why David chose 5 smooth stones? He knew it would only take one because he knew that God had the hiding hand. You know, for many years, as I read that, I thought about it. Why did he choose 5 stones? I was preaching this sermon. It's been a good while back. A little gentleman right down in front, when I made the statement, he said, "Brother Gil, I know why." He said, "There's some verses of scripture on over in the Bible that tell me why." I said, "Okay, I want to have a Bible study as soon as this is over. Let me share this with you." Now, David knew that he needed one for Goliath, correct? So there's 4, but he chose 5. Open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel. You know, I've been studying the Bible for a long time, but I can never be intrigued enough about how the Holy Spirit has put things together so that when you, I don't care what subject you're on, you can study it and you can go somewhere else and you study a little more and a little more and everything just comes together. You know what I'm talking about, Jack. You know how that works. 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter. This is amazing. On over in the Bible, the answer to why David chose 5 smooth stones. 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter, and we're going to start with verse 15. Now, we've already got one smooth stone that David chose for Goliath, but he had four others, and here's why. Later on, we're told in verse 15, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants went with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ish-bibenob, which was one of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword. Okay, so now David knew that Ish-bibenob was in existence. David knew about the history of that family, of Goliath's family. So he had one stone, and he didn't know if right over the hill maybe the rest of Goliath's family was over there waiting. And David was prepared because the Lord had him prepared. So he had a stone for Goliath. He had a stone for this Ish-bibenob. And then verse 17, but Asaiah the son of Zariah succumbed him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou got no more with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of hand. Okay, so now we've got Goliath, a stone for Goliath. We've got a stone for this Ish-bibenob. Now verse 18, it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob, and then this, whatever his name is, slew Saph. So Saph, which was one of the sons of the giants. So David knew that there was a Philistine, that Saph was in existence. So he had a stone for him. So that's three stones that he had prepared. And then verse 19, there was again a battle in Gob, where Elihan, the son of Jeroboam, whatever his name, slew the brother of Goliath. Now, he didn't give his name, but yet there was another brother of Goliath that David knew, so that made four. And then we go down to verse 29. There was yet another battle in Gath. There was a man of great stature that had on his hand six fingers and on his foot six toes, and 24 in number. Do you see my point? There was, David knew, the Lord prepared him to be able to fight five different big guys. That's why he chose five smooth stones. When I found that out, it just thrilled me. It's amazing. It's just amazing how you can study, and God doesn't just lay it right out there for you where Satan can attack it. He wants you to study. And I don't care what subject it is, there's information in different parts of the Bible. It just puts it all together. And then it's even more reasonable. I think that's fabulous. So that's why the five smooth stones were in existence. Fabulous story. You know, the Lord, He's going to take care of us. Now, sometimes we have tragedies and things happen to us. We don't understand, but He's in control. But in eternity, we're going to understand that He had everything lined out. And God wants us to fight the battles. David knew that he shouldn't just go out there and just stand there and expect God to take care of everything. David had to be prepared, and he was there. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to strive for excellence and be prepared to take on whatever Satan throws at us. And then he's there to back us up. Those five smooth stones, something else, you know what I think they represent? Those stones, those rocks, they represented the rock of Jesus. I believe that's when we get right down to it. And the rock of Jesus will take care of any giants in our lives. This big belching Goliath and his shield bearer against little David. It was summertime. That was the only thing. And David, but he was prepared. Suddenly, as Goliath looked over, he saw this little man. This little boy down the creek, he was expecting God's people to send their best person, their biggest, their brightest to challenge him. He was beginning to wonder after 6 weeks, but then when he looked up and he saw that little person, verse 44, "Come here, little boy, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Verse 47, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." I'm sure that when David looked up and, when Goliath looked up and saw that, it had to anger him. It was an insult in his mind. It had to have been. But David knew that the battle was the Lord's. We do not win under our own strength, but we win through the blood of Jesus. You know, Jesus, he's the one that comes down and fights the battles in our lives. Verse 48, David ran quickly, but he didn't run the other direction the way all of his people did for all those 6 weeks. David ran toward the battle line. In verse 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it. Because I would imagine it probably irritated Goliath, and he jerked his helmet off in disgust when that little guy came out. Well, that's just all that David needed. He was definitely accurate. And he took one of those smooth stones, and a smooth stone because when it glides through the air, it's more accurate. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into the forehead. He fell face down on the ground. That stone had struck that one vulnerable place. That was David's target, the largest forehead in the world. Everybody else thought the Goliath was too big to fight, but David thought that he was just too big to miss. He couldn't miss him. He's as big as that old proverbial, as big as the side of a barn. How could I miss? Verse 51, David ran, stood over him, and then to even insult the enemy even more, he took the Philistine's own sword, drew it from his scabbard, and after he killed him, he even cut his head off with his own sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they forgot all about the conditions of the contest, and they turned tails and they ran for their lives. Verse 54, David returned home and took Goliath's head with him. You know, that's pretty gory. He took Goliath's weapons inside his tent, and those were his trophies. That's all he wanted. Because he knew that it wasn't him. He knew that God, that Jesus is the one that defeated Goliath that day. David did. He gained a kingly reputation that day. He was the real giant that day. And he made God his giant. Goliath was the midget. Friends, in closing today, if you're facing a giant in your life, whether it's some type of medical illness, grief, if there's some kind of dependency, unemployment, financial problems, job, whatever it is, the one that we can turn to that can destroy that giant in our life is Jesus. You know, we never know what giant problems might lie ahead just in that next valley there in our life, waiting for us, but we know that Jesus will be there for us, and all we have to do is just ask him. The God who delivered David that day will deliver you. And I just hope that I want to encourage each of us to always focus on Jesus. And I hope today that each of us have learned something about this story, that for some it just might be so insignificant, but yet there's a lifetime of learning when we study about it. That little David, but with the Lord on his side, he stood up against the giant who turned out to be a midget that day. Amen. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this time that you've allowed us to be with you here this morning. And now as we go our way, we ask that you be with us this next week coming up and help us with those giants that might appear in our life. And help us be the kind of witness that we can be for you so that maybe we can just be an influence on someone else and help them find you. Dear Father, again, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. And we look so great for the day when we will be with you in eternity. And these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.